Amen, Sister Ruth. That's beautiful. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Amen. It's good to see you all this morning. Good to see this number. Again, so thankful for all of you, our young people. Praise the Lord. It's been mentioned this morning. It's so good to see each of you, and I'm so glad that you're here. And if your fetters have been broken, say amen. 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 And that's something, every time I think about that song, hear that song and thinking about that, just the freedom that we have. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I don't want to be bound, do you? I mean, fetters, that's a bounding word right there, but they're broken if you've been saved. I mean, praise the Lord. Set free, there's nothing like that, nothing like it. I do have two announcements that I wanted to give to you this morning. The first one being Brother Jed Warren, he's a missionary to the Port of Panama. He is going to be with us next Sunday, and that would be for Sunday school and for the preaching time. And so, but teachers, I would just say maybe still be prepared just in case, because like we've had before, maybe sickness or something happened. But I would just urge you just to say, just to be prepared. But Lord willing, Brother Jed Warren will be with us next Sunday. And then also, there's a barbecue hot dog benefit March 15th at the Trade Community Center, and that is going to be from 4 to 7 p.m. This was shared with me by Sister Melody Howe. If you have any questions, I do have more information. But it's a benefit for her daughter and son-in-law who are trying to have, they're not able to have children. And so what they're doing is going through the adoption process, which is very expensive. And so they're having a benefit for that. So that's what that's for. But if you have any more or have any questions or what have you, please let me know, and I'll be glad to share that with you. But that's what I have there by way of announcements. If you will, let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. Studied on this a few weeks ago now. Sometimes have the time to go through and like study different topics and things, and sometimes the Lord says, no, don't use that one this time, save it for later. And that's kind of what happened with this message. And different things throughout the week kind of led me back to this. Different happenings, even up through yesterday, talking with a young couple about getting married, and this topic even came up. But I'll go ahead and give you the title so your mind can kind of start wrapping around it. But it's a lesson in listening. A lesson in listening. And I really want our young people to hear this and pay attention to it. You got to listen this morning, as the title suggests. But I'll tell you this, you should always be listening in the house of God. I'll just go ahead and say that. But I definitely want you to hear this morning, and thinking about our new converts and young people, young Christians. Again, really trying to focus on discipleship and mentoring our young folks, and really want to be there to help them. And our young couples that are coming up together, really have a support network together. I really know, and I know within my heart, this will be really good for you. Learning to listen at school, learning to listen at church, learning to listen to your parents, and primarily learning to listen to the Lord and staying focused on Him. There's a lot of noise out here, a lot of things that will pull our attention away from Him, and that's exactly where the devil wants us to be. He wants our mind on those things. And we talked a lot about prayer. The last few weeks, and one of the things that we're talking about today, I'll go ahead and share this with you too. You know, if you're not careful, your object of prayer will overshadow the one that you're asking help from. You know, for me, a lot of times I get asphyxiated on the problem. You think about David and his giant and the many different things. You think about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. If you're not careful, if we're not careful as Christians, what we'll do is we'll have our object of prayer, and it'll be before who we're praying for. We'll be only looking at that. And you see, when we start looking away from the Lord, that's when our troubles really, really start. That's when we start to fall. That's what happened to Peter when he started looking at the storm versus looking at the Lord. He took his eyes off of Him, and that's when he started to fall. You and I are the exact same way this morning. I want us to know that the people that we read about in the Bible, they're not supernatural. They're made out of the same stuff you and I are. They're not infallible. They're just as susceptible to things as you and I are. And the Bible mentions that in different places. So keep that in mind this morning as we're going through this. But this is a lesson in learning. Proverbs chapter number 22, verses 17 through 21. This is Solomon talking here. The wisest person to ever live, the wisest man, human, the wisest man to live. And he, remember, he asked the Lord for wisdom. The Lord asked, what should I grant you? And he asked for wisdom so he would be a good leader of the nation of Israel and to lead his people appropriately. I tell you, the mark of a good leader, I'll go ahead and tell you this, is a good listener. One that's able to hear and hear what is being said, what is being proposed, and their mind's not running so fast that they're not listening to what a person is asking or what the problem is, and also that they're not listening to the Lord. People can be headstrong and get kind of set in their ways about what they want, and then once they get that way, they're not listening to anything else. If not careful, that can really get you in trouble. So this is a lesson in listening this morning. This is what Solomon had to say in verse 17. It says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing. Think about that. It is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Very personal, very direct. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today, God, for your many blessings, Lord. Just the beautiful sunshine that's outside, Lord, and just all those who are able to be with us here today, God, we just thank you so much for them. And Lord, I pray and ask that your special blessings be upon them, God, and that this message would be a help to us all, Lord. It's what you've laid on my heart. And Lord, I trust you with it. And God, I ask that you preach it through me, Lord. I know I'm unworthy. I'm a very, very unworthy vessel, Lord. But God, I just pray and ask for your forgiveness. And I plead the blood, God. And I ask you, Lord, that your will be here done here today, God. I want to see your people help, Lord, and Lord, I need your help. These words here are written for our betterment, for our knowledge, and Lord, to help us, to give us that instruction and reproof, God, that we need in our lives. And God, I just thank you so much for it. I thank you for the privilege of prayer, God, being able to have that, being able to pray and ask you, Lord, for help, and feel your help come along, God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our heart, God. And we felt that here today, Lord, in the singing, in Sunday school already, God, and I just pray that it continue. God, I just pray and ask that there be nothing hindering. God, I pray and ask that you bind the devil and keep him from this service. And Lord, help your people today, God. Encourage us, Lord. Encourage hearts and help us, God. Help us to see things your way and help us to be willing to do things your way, Father. Lord, those that are lost, God, we pray for them this morning. I pray that today would be their day of salvation, God, that they come to know you, Lord. God, I pray for them. God, please convict hearts today. Please convict and encourage, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You see here, Solomon, he is wanting to share some things with us. And I believe you look back, he's talking to as if his son and addressing this. And that's what's so beautiful about it. It's a personal thing. If you really want to help people, you tell them the truth. If you want to make people happy, you tell them what they want to hear. And a lot of times that's two very different things. You could really smooth people over by just telling them what they want to hear and everything's easy and maybe everything's just going to be just fine and stuff. But you and I are going to face things on this earth. We are. You think about it. And again, this is not a negative message in any way. It's a positive message. I think it's going to help us. But the reality of things, as the world is waxing worse and worse, we got to know that we will be affected in some way by that. But you know, the Lord gives us a path of exit, a path of getting out of that, a path of help with that. And I think it's important that we take note of that also. We're not left here alone to our own device to try to figure things out. And when you talk about instruction, and that's exactly what Solomon is giving here. I would say he's probably looking out at the nation of Israel and seeing all the ups and downs that they are going through. And he's really saying, I want to help these people. I want to be able to give them something that's going to help them, but it's going to be something they're going to have to hear and they're going to have to apply. So many things that a person could tell somebody else, but if they're not willing to do it, it's just not going to work out just right. I think Brother John Mark probably attests to that in coaching. It's sometimes if you watch a person, you watch your athlete, and you say, well, if you would just do it like this, you would probably have the success that you're looking for. But it's up to that person to do it. Very frustrating when they don't. I think that's the way our Father in heaven is when he looks down at us. He says, I've given you the playbook. I've given you the word. I've given you what I'm asking, but you're not actually listening to it or you're not actually applying it. Therefore, you're frustrated that you're not getting the response that you want. And see, that again, that kind of falls back on us, doesn't it? You see, he's given us everything, but he's telling us just to do it our way. And he tests us in a certain way. Again, he never tempts us to do anything, but he tests us. Just like it was said this morning when Brother Tim was talking about it, as things I've heard this morning from the prayers that were said to things that in opening up Sunday school, I believe there's a conditioning, Brother Tim. I believe that with all of our heart. You know, we as Christians believe and we should have a soft heart. The Bible says, I believe, what, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But what I think happens sometimes in the wanting to have a harder or a tougher skin, if we're not careful, the same things happen to our hearts. It's okay to have a tougher shell. We're supposed to, and I think we're going to need one. Being a Christian in this day and time isn't an easy thing to do. You have to have a tough skin. Being a pastor, being a preacher, it's not an easy thing. You have to have a tough skin. Being in law enforcement, different things, you have to have a tough skin. And I think that's kind of what's being relayed here. But you still need to have that soft heart. And what he's saying, as we see here in verse number 1, he says, bow down thine ear. He's saying, slow down and put your ear down. Bow it down. Listen to it low. Just listen to it. With so much noise going on, he's saying you're going to have to get away from it. On Wednesday night, we were talking about the Lord's Prayer and what he had to say there, and he was in a certain place. You'll always find that what I found in the Word of God, when you see the example, the accounts of Jesus praying, he gets alone to himself. You don't see it saying the Lord was fishing or the Lord was doing carpentry work and praying, and you'll see it, he got alone to himself. Even in the garden, when he left the disciples in a certain place, he said, you wait here and I'm going to go pray. He always found time to get alone so he could actually listen to the Father. You see, if we're not careful, like we've already mentioned, if we're not careful, we'll make prayer just kind of something that we kind of do a little bit through the day, but we don't give it the attention that we're supposed to give it. And if we're not giving the asking part the attention that it needs, then we're definitely not going to give the listening part the attention it needs either. It's going to be something that we just kind of do, and then whatever happens, happens. And if it's a small priority in our life, we might say, well, just wasn't the Lord's will. If it was a large priority in our life and it's really bothersome to us, we might just get mad at God. I think that happens a lot. Why is he not hearing me? Maybe he is. Maybe you're not listening. Maybe we're not listening to what he has to say. And Solomon is saying here, bow down thine ear. Number one, you see that being said there. Number two, and it says, and hear the words of the wise. Listen. He's saying, listen. I encourage you this morning and every time we meet in the Lord's house to really make it a point to listen to what the Word of God says. I tell you, it's not even about me. It's about what the Word of God says and the application of it. If we're not hearing it, we don't even know what to apply. You're not paying attention in school to learn the different things that you need to learn there. How are you going to apply it if you don't know it? You see, the test usually comes after the learning. This is our learning time together in the house of God. And it's amazing sometimes you might hear something today that will help you in the following week or maybe weeks or days. Or maybe it's something you went through last week and then this morning it kind of comes together. You say, wow, that was actually in the Word of God. He put that in there so we can see it. So we can use it. He's wanting us to hear. It is so important to hear. I think the first mention that you see in the Bible of the word hear is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4. And I thought this was interesting. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thy might. And that's something that's the first mention of the word here and who it directs it to. It always points back to God. It always points back to the Lord, and our focal point should always be on Him. I know we have objects. I know we have lost people in our lives. I know we have battles and things in our lives that we're facing, but the thing about it is we do not need to be focused on that. We need to be focused on the one who can help us that's beyond that. It's so easy to get fixated on the problem and get so discouraged on the problem, but even the first time you hear here in the Bible, it points it to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points it to God. And He's saying to hear the words of the wise. And that word here, that means to attend. Active listening. How many of you have heard that term? Active listening. That means you're engaged and you're listening. You know, you're kind of listening to it. I remember I've been in some classes and some things, and man, I was fighting to stay awake. But the more I'd fight to stay awake, you know what I did? The more I'd try to act like I was interested to help me stay awake. Amen. You know what I found? When I would do that, it's kind of interesting. It kind of helped me. Brother Kevin, when I went to people like that, when the teacher kind of found out who was paying attention, you know what they'd do? They'd focus their attention on me. It's like I had one-on-one attention. If I was interested or not, it's kind of neat. I learned something. It's like I had my own private tutor. They focused on me. It's like you look out and say, who's engaged or not? And that person got the attention. Amen. A lot of times it was me. Sometimes, you know, the good thing about it is, Brother Kevin, I actually learned something a time or two. Amen. That's good. And anytime it comes down to the Lord and what He has to say to us, we need to learn every single bit of it that we can, because you're going to need it. Things don't really usually get easier. Things kind of get harder. We talked a little bit on Wednesday night and this morning in Sunday school about the grind. Anybody hearing the grind this morning? Nobody? Praise the Lord. It's a lonely place to be. I guess I'm here by myself. Amen. No, it's like that. You know, there's times that in life, you know, you get hurt. Maybe you get punched in the mouth. And then it's over and you recoup from it. That's not as bad. Maybe it's really, maybe worse in that moment. But you know what happens? You usually get over it kind of quicker. But that grind that just goes on and on and on and on, that's the hard part. That's the hard place to be. That's where you can find yourself in life. I believe everybody can and will find themselves in that place of life. And that's why these words are important. And it says here, number three, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. That's what Solomon's saying. See, I think when Solomon asked for wisdom, one of the things that accompanied that is a lot of experience. That's how we get wisdom. That's how we have wisdom. You can learn it from reading it from a book. You can get knowledge. I think wisdom is the application of knowledge. It comes from that. You can pull from, you say, the book says to do this, and then you take that practical situation in life, the book says to do it, you apply it, and you're testing to see if it actually works or not. And then when it works, the next time you find yourself in that situation, you say, I've been there by experience, I'm going to do this again. If we don't hear it and we don't apply it, we're kind of just out there in that situation by ourselves trying to figure out what to do. That's what it feels like. And I believe what you'll find when you pray about problems and situations, a good deal of the time, the Lord will direct us back to His Word and say, here, this is what you're supposed to do. That's how He speaks to us, through His Word. So that's how He redirects us back to the Word of God. That's why it's so important to have the Word of God and use it on a daily basis. It's that important. Parents, young people, as you're coming up, as you're talking about getting married and having kids and finding the right career, that you're going to have a good life, work balance, it doesn't take you out of the house of God. See, all of that comes back to the Word of God. All of it. All of it comes back to that. It's that important to know that. He's saying, again, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. He's saying, I've experienced a few things. I have experienced based off of wisdom, based off of things that have happened in my life. Please listen to me. I was really hoping Josh and Sarah could be here. Pray for them. They're traveling back from visiting family. But when you think about your young ones, your kids, and our young people in our church, you say, look, I've experienced a few things. I could probably help you avoid some trouble if you'll listen to me and do what I say. Sometimes that happens. A lot of times I think that that saves a lot of heartache, but sometimes it don't happen, and it's not good to come back and say, "Well, I told you so." I'm not saying like that, but it hurts the teller. I tell you, when Solomon was saying these things and the hearers weren't applying it, it hurt him. I'm trying to help you. I want to save you from some heartache. I want to give you the best advice that I can give you. And that's what he's saying here. That's my desire this morning. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge. That means steady application. You're going to make it a point to do that. Look at verses number 18 through 21. We'll kind of go through these somewhat together. Number four, for it is a pleasant thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a pleasant thing is what he's saying here. There's a lot of benefits in hearing. It is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. When things come to you, hardships come to you, and you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, the Word of God will put that in you. If you're a born-again Christian this morning, that's something that's a blessing. Again, I think about our new converts. That's something he's given specially and specifically to his children to be able to do. The guidance of the Holy Spirit within and his word right here that we can follow. He will be a God to us. It's a pleasant thing if you keep those words within thee. You have those in you. You won't have them in you if you don't read and study. If you don't attend, that's another word to application. Or to the word here, it means to attend, being present. Thank God that you're here this morning. What a blessing it is to see this number. And I'm always excited to see you. It says, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, and they shall be withal fitted in thy lips. You ever find yourself in a situation you just don't really know what to say? You might say, "Oh, preacher, you don't. You talk all the time." No, there's times I don't know what to say. Certain situations, I don't. But you know, it's something when you study the Word of God and you catalog and you place those things in your heart, even those tougher situations, He'll give you the right scripture to say that can encourage somebody. It's a beautiful thing to have the Word of God on your lips, steady there. You know, a lot of times we might just say, give a surface answer, but if you've studied and somebody comes to you, there's all kinds of applications in the Word of God that can help not only yourself, but somebody else. It's there for a purpose. When discouraging times, discouragement comes, it's so encouraging to hear the fitted words of God come out of the lips of His saints. It's an important thing. Verse number 19, and thy trust may be in the Lord. Directs us right back. It's not in ourself. It always points back to God, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I've made known to thee this day, even to thee. He's driving it in the hearts of His people. He's wanting His people to understand that. Verse number 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things? You go back and read in the book of Proverbs all the many things, all the many teachings that He puts in there, the parables and the teachings that He's put in there. Have I not written unto thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? He's saying it's all there for you. It's yours for the taking. Reading of Proverbs a day, I believe you've heard that. I think Brother Mike, different people have said that in the church, and how valuable it is to do that. And what's the purpose? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. The certainty of it. That's the hardest part that I find in a test and a trial. They're all different. Your faith is going to be tested in so many different ways. As a parent, as a person, as a Christian, as a young person, it doesn't matter. Your faith is going to be tested in so many different ways. But the answer still comes back to the same response. God still has you. That's what you'll find. The little things that might not affect us so much that you can be more patient with, it's kind of easy. You're like, well, if it happens this way, if it don't, okay, fine. I'd rather it happen this way. And so maybe you might kind of forget about it. But then days, weeks, months after it happens, like, oh, look, the Lord handled that. Praise the Lord. You know, kind of simple. But it's those things that, again, stay right here that's always on your mind, always on your heart. Those things that when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep over, it's right here. Guess what? The answer is the same thing. God still has you. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not. I'm not trying to tell you I've got it all figured out. But by God's word, that's the answer. And that's the answer for me, and that's the answer for you. And I promise you, it's not always going to be easy. But that's the same answer. That's what we're getting out of it. The certainty of his words. He's saying the certainty of the truth. It's going to happen this way. How the Lord has it. His will. And he loves his children. And he has the best at heart for you. And for me here this morning, I believe that with all my heart. Sometimes it might take a while to get there. But I believe that with all my heart. He's wanting us to listen. The certainty of the words of truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee, that you can share those same words of truth with somebody else. You can share your testimony with somebody else. You know, I tell you, the Lord knows how to teach me, and the devil knows how to attack me. I'll just be honest with you this morning. That's how it is. I want you to see something here. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. I'm going to close out with this. I'll try not to be too long this morning, but kind of get to the point. Something for us to meditate on. This has helped me so much, church. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. While you're turning there, I'm going to say this. You know that you can only effectively listen to one voice at a time? Do you know that? You can only effectively listen to one voice at a time. I don't know, maybe. You know, the Bible teaches us here also, Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know," that's that same certainty, "be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth." He'll be magnified to everybody. The heathen will see him, and his people will see him. He will be magnified and lifted up. But you and I, we might have two ears, but you really can't effectively hear two voices at the same time. Now, I've got down to an art at the house. I told the Sunday school class this morning, I've got down to an art. I can be watching YouTube, looking on my phone. Brother Tanner maybe doing a little editing or something like that, and Brandy be talking in the background. And I've learned this. If I can recount and recall the words that she said, a lot of times that suffices. Now, I don't really remember the full meaning behind it, but if I hear what she says and I can spit that back out to her, then she kind of just grins at me. She said, "You still didn't hear me." No, I didn't. I just knew what you said. But I didn't hear you. But that's kind of how life is now. Let's just be honest. When I grew up, and I'm not that old, and I'm not saying I'm 48, okay? And I grew up at the time Atari came out, Nintendo came out, and then you had your Mac Labs, and you had your Window Labs. You actually had to go to a room to check your email. You couldn't do it on a phone. I had a pager when I first started working. You actually had to go to a landline. You beep, beep, beep. You go off. And you'd actually have to go somewhere, Brother Tim, to make a call. That's old, ain't it? My goodness. How'd you live in those kind of days? How'd you get word around? You had to spread a map out over the hood of your car to figure out where you're going. Man, that's Wild West frontier stuff. But now, look where we're at now. You can do everything. I didn't mean to have this up here on purpose. I usually try to leave it, but you can do everything from right here. You can run the world from right here pretty much, can't you? Need to take a photo? Whoop. Need to go somewhere? Pull up your GPS, whatever. You need to research something? Man, people research. Everybody knows everything now. Just Google it. Just Google it. If Google don't know it, Facebook does. Used to, you had to get up in the morning and listen to Johnny Wood. You remember Johnny Wood? Is it Johnson City? Not anymore. What's going on over in Zionville? Everybody will tell you. Get on Facebook, they'll tell you. See, we know everything now. We got everything in the palm of our hand. I mean, it's amazing just kind of how that works out. Everything's right there. But you see, God wants our time with Him. We get so wrapped up in all these things. You're trying to study, you're trying to pray, whatever it is. The TV's on, the dog's squeaking a toy, Brandy's wanting to talk about something, and all this kind of stuff. All this stuff is going on, and we're kind of going through life just like that. We're not listening. We're hearing all kinds of stuff, but we're not listening. And you get a little bit of this, you get a little bit of that, and it gets crossed up, and that's how gossip starts. It's all this stuff spread. I thought this. Well, who said that? I don't know. I heard it somewhere. You see, we don't even know who said it. The importance is getting back and getting along with God and listening to what He has to say, so you're not caught up in all the hearsay and all the noise, that you know who is saying what and who you can trust. I want to tell you something here. Elijah is one of my favorite people to study. It's amazing to see what this man had gone through and what he had experienced with God and the amazing things that God brought him through. And then you have Elisha come along after that. And probably, I think they say in the Bible, the Bible says, I think he's probably twice as involved as what Elijah was and what he experienced. He wanted a double portion. That's what the Lord gave him. That's what he had. Now, you look at Elijah here and what he has to, what is being said here to him. You go back in chapter number 18, probably one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament. If there's ever a battle of good versus evil, and you saw the Lord magnify Himself in such a way and just absolutely take it to the devil, it was during that account right there with the prophets of Baal. And Elijah, if you think back to that time and how it was and how they were dousing water on top of the on top of the altars there to burn it up, and they're saying, hey, if you can cause your gods to bring fire down and burn it up, then we'll say your God is the one true God. But if mine, then the God of heaven is the one true God. Boy, that's powerful. See, Elijah couldn't do that himself. He was fully relying on God to do what God said he would do. Prophets of Baal come out and they showed themselves. You know that. They screamed and hollered and cut on themselves. And no fire of heaven came down and the altar didn't burn or anything like that. But Elijah, he was caught up in such a big way. He's like, well, let's just make it interesting. Let's douse it with water. You've had your go, now it's my go. Let's douse it with water. So they doused it with water. He said, go ahead and do it again. They did. What, about three or four times? How many times? Do it again. He was bold, wasn't he? Have you ever been bold in the Lord? The Lord do something for you? And you feel like, I'm where I want to be. This is great. The power of God is on my life, and I feel His power and I feel His presence. He was anything but discouraged. He knew God was going to do something. He knew. And you know what happened? The fire came down, doused that wet water, licked up the ground. The ground around the altar was dry and burnt that altar up. Boy, he sent them running. And you know what they did? They slew those prophets of Baal. Man, score one victory for heaven and Elijah and the children of Israel and God's people. Score, man. I mean, you can't beat that. That's one of the biggest accounts in the Old Testament. Then you turn the page over. You go from chapter 18, you go into 19, and look where Elijah's at now. See what happened? Jezebel and Ahab, you look at them, that's mean. You talk about the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Ahab, you talk about evil, you talk about Antichrist. That's exactly who they are. The spirit of Antichrist was alive and well in them. And what happened is Jezebel knew that all her prophets were killed. And you know what she said? She said, either you or me. She said, I'm going to send everything I can on you, Elijah. I'm going to put everything on you, and either you die or I die. She put it all on him. And you know, after that, I don't know, church, I don't know. I would say that Elijah was probably pretty exhausted after that, even though it was a win, even though he was encouraged in that moment. You know probably what he wanted? He wanted some downtime. But you know where he was at? He was in the grind. He went from the mountaintop into this. And when he got this letter, when he'd heard this letter, I believe the way the Bible says it, and when he'd heard it, he didn't say, bring it. You know what he did? He ran. Why? Why would you do that? You go from an instant, you turn the page, he's in the power, in the presence of God, in one of the most mighty ways that you see displayed in the Old Testament, and you turn the page and he's running. And he's hiding. Why did he say, come on, God's got this. Come on. God's got this just like he had that. Come on. Because he's just like you and me. What does the Bible say about Elijah? James chapter 5, a man of like passions as you and me. I'm telling you, church, these people were just like you and me. They experienced things. They went through things. But he was just like you and me. He had like passions just like you and me. He's like, well, he did it that time. I don't know if he'll do it this time. Killed all my friends. They're going to try to kill us all. They're just me, and I'm going to run and hide. You know what he did? He ran and he hid in a cave. Why was he not listening to God? Why did he not listen to God? You know what he was doing, church? He's fixated on this right here. He couldn't see past this problem. He wasn't actively listening to God. This here is a lesson in listening even to Elijah, somebody like that in the Bible. And amazingly, after all these things, and the angel of the Lord came to him, and they were feeding him, had a cake of bread for him. God provided his food. Again, just like our Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. God provides everything that we need. He provided it for him. He's like, look, you hadn't eaten in a long time. You need to eat. There's a journey coming and you need to eat. And he, therefore, at the beginning, he didn't want to do that. But finally, he started listening. But this is kind of interesting here. I want to read this. 19 verses 11. Get on the right page here. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. We're going to close with this morning, church. And I want you to remember this. You can only effectively listen to one voice at a time. You're going to have to cut everything else out. When you're praying to the God of heaven, when you're doing business with God, you're going to have to get alone to yourself. You're going to have to turn everything off and turn everything out, because you can only effectively listen to one voice at a time. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break into pieces the rocks before the Lord. See, that's what Elijah was used to. That's what he liked to see. That's what he was used to. He's used to going out and proclaiming things and God shaking this thing up, burning this thing up. That's what he was used to. But look what the Word of God says. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, tore the mountain down and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Isn't that something? The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. I mean, he was really shaking this earth up. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Doesn't this kind of sound familiar, church? You look around this world today, shouldn't this kind of ring true? Have you ever seen so many floods? Have you ever seen so many tornadoes, earthquakes, fires? Have you ever seen so many things going on at one time seemingly, and after the earthquake, a fire? But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, and after the fire, a still small voice. Isn't that something? Say, preacher, I've heard that before. You need to hear it again, because that's how he speaks to us. You look at the devastation, the destruction, everything that's going on in the world. You look at all the stuff that's going on in your life that probably has you discouraged, has you shaken, has you burned up, and has you worried and concerned. The Lord's not in it. The Lord's not in that. He's in the still small voice that comes after that. See, I think a lot of times I'm guilty. I think a lot of times I get so enwrapped in all these things and wrapped up in all those kind of things that are going on, the big things and all the fireworks and all the noise, that I get to a place that I can't hear. But it's that still small voice and how he talks to us. And how do you hear a still small voice? How do you hear that? Got YouTube going. Got the TV going, listening to the radio, listening to music. That's one thing I found. If you hop in the car and you just turn on the radio, depending on whatever stations it's on, you just start listening to what's on the radio, man, that can change your mood good or bad in just instantly. Now, I want to tell you, you can't pray effectively through that. What you have going on the TV, what you have going on, all these extra things going on that take you away from the Word of God, you can't effectively hear through that. By no means can you effectively pray through it. I tell you, I think that's what this was, what the Lord was telling Elijah here. You're going to have to shut all those things out, and you're going to have to listen to me, the effective voice that's trying to help you and change your life. Elijah, this is a lesson in listening, I believe is what he's saying. You look at Proverbs chapter 22, won't go back there, but that is what Solomon was teaching us there. It'll never change. You see what it says all throughout the Bible. And the importance of listening all the way into the New Testament, it's the same thing. But you have to make him a priority if you really want to get in there for God. You have to make him a priority. It's not something you do on the side. Prayer is not something that you do on the side. Going to church is not something you do on the side. Studying the Word of God is not something you just do on the side when you have time. It's something you have to make a priority for. It has become priority number one in your life. If you will, stand with me this morning. I invite the ladies to come. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. And God, I just thank you so much for your word. Lord, what it means to us. God, how it can help us and guide us if we'll apply it. Lord, I thank you so much for this, the examples that you give to us in your word that we can be encouraged by, that we can test our lives by, be encouraged by, God, knowing that you've done these things in the lives of other people like passions as we, God, not supernatural people or anything like that. It's just the supernatural God that we serve. The mighty things, Lord, that you've done in the Old Testament for people, in the New Testament, God, you can do those things for us.